from the twisted realm of science and the darkest pits of reason comes chilling tales of godlessness. Bear witness to the unfathomable terror that is the Good Atheist.
All right, let's start with the big news. Should we talk about the big news before we start the show?
The big news is that after how long have we been half-assing it?
We've been half-assing it now for about a year.
Well, actually, I wouldn't say that I've been half-assing. It's not my baby. It's not my baby.
It's not my baby.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't know how I can be held responsible for how you raise
baby.
Hey,
dude, man, even if you were just a step-parent, you have some responsibilities as a step-parent. You adopted it. Therefore, you may go to jail if you neglect it.
Nah.
So what are you then? You're not the step-parent, so what are you? You're just like the uncle? You're like that molester uncle of the show?
Yeah, I would say that. But regardless, we've been neglecting. I will say we now.
Since
we began. And just kind of doing things like a flow. And I guess now it is time, once again, to make promises.
Yep. Promises, but this time it's a different promise, because the whole idea is basically, truth be told, the reason it got neglected a lot was we got so many projects that we're doing at the same time. I was working 9 to 5, then going back in the site that me and Ryan also have, fightlinker.com, which is its own full-time job,
which is its own media juggernaut.
Yeah, exactly. And then doing this was, let's be honest, kind of an afterthought, you know, saying like, oh yeah, we should probably make one. It's been a little while.
Truth of the matter is, until we figure out a way to make money out of atheists, it was going to be on the back burner.
Yeah. But now this actually gets to be the project on the side that we can actually devote a little bit of time and see where this goes, because it's an interesting little thing. And
it's had amazing success considering how
fast we do.
No, how neglected.
Yeah, no kidding.
How neglected the site is.
Just the fact that we always float on in the top podcasts on iTunes, just for releasing one every month, is still pretty impressive. And the download rate's still good. People still are listening to the old shows all the time.
And I gotta say, they deserve better. You all, you deserve
better.
You
deserve so much better, and we're gonna give you better. So now I am jobless. So
Jacob quit. He wasn't fired. He was quit.
I quit. I was tired of the 9 to 5 world. I said, screw that, fuck that noise. I can do my own thing. I can carve my own path. And,
carve your own path.
Whatever
niche.
Nah.
Walk your own path. Carve your own niche.
Can I build? Can I? You can't.
You
carve
can
a path?
Climb your own mountain.
Climb my own mountain.
Write your own ticket.
Yeah, I'm going to be the Jack Kerouac of atheists. No, I don't know what that means.
That means nothing. That means terrible, like rambling with no point, and it seems much better than
adventurous,
it really is.
You know?
I suppose.
Romanticizing it. So I'm going to romanticize.
Yeah.
Leave your jobs and pursue your atheist dreams, people.
Agreed.
Your godless dreams. Okay, opening story. This is kind of an amusing thing. Basically, some of Ryan's family came down to visit, and the thing about that particular side of his family is that they come from, where do they come from?
Ireland. Northern Ireland.
They come from Northern Ireland. And his parents, they gave me two rules, okay? The rule number one is that I was not allowed to swear, which I felt was, kind of strict, but hey, you know what? I can understand. But the second rule was there was no talk about religion. I had to tone that shit down. And let me tell you, the first one was easy compared to the second one. Now, give us a little idea of how they are and why
I
needed to do
first
that.
I'll just explain how you are.
I think everybody knows how I am.
No, I don't think they do. I think, you know, they listen to The Good Atheist, and they, you know, they're like, wow, they talk a decent amount about atheism, but they also go off on a tangent, so they're probably not that bad. But you got to understand, Jacob, in a regular context, in a regular social setting, we'll bring up atheism and talk about atheism. And he's big into atheism, and that's like his bread and butter topic. If you tell Jake you're not allowed to talk about sex and religion, he's just going to sit there with his mouth shut all night, is basically how it kind of works.
No, I was still talking. It's just...
No.
The whole time, you know what it felt like? It felt more like I had to watch what I say, because anything could segment
into that.
So it wasn't so much that, like, I'm a two-trick pony. Yeah. It's just that, you know, you make a joke. Like, we were talking about the fact that I thought that most weddings were boring because I had a friend that was that's having a wedding next weekend. Mm-hmm. And I thought, you know, wouldn't it be nice if people sort of jazzed it up? And I was
and had some fun with it and just kind of relaxed. Just
kind of ran with it. I mean, part of the reason is also because if some of you remember, some of you fans just, you know, listened to the show from the get-go, you know that I wanted to do weddings kind of like as a part-time thing. And I guess if you're not a priest, you'd be an MC, yeah. I guess.
An atheist justice of the peace.
Yeah, well, an anointed minister or something like that. Anyway, so that was my plan. But then when I was talking about it, I'm like, shit, I can't talk about this. But I still managed to steer it and make it a non-religious context. Or so I thought. Or mm-hmm. so I thought. Because basically the reaction from his uncle was pretty much like, well, it's not the priest's job to try to be entertaining. He's doing a ceremony. He's got to be accurate towards it. I'm just thinking the entire time, like, wow.
Because it was interesting because I never really thought about that. Because when you really believe, because, you know, my mom is religious. My dad is not. But, you know, my mom is kind of like one of those whatever kind of, like, you know, the ceremony doesn't matter and anything else. But when you're hardcore, you've got that idea that ceremonies have to be followed to a T or they don't work. It's like an invocation, you know?
Yeah, no, it's like incantation. If you do it wrong, instead of, you know, summoning the spirit, you summon the devil! Yeah. The devil is an entertainment!
And if you want God to shine down upon your wedding, it's like the priest has to be, you know, this specific denomination, it has to follow all the rules.
And you can't be a fag!
Yeah, it, exactly. It's got to be all these things. And all of a sudden, it gave me a glimpse into the idea of, you know, the whole gay marriage thing. And you're like, now you kind of understand why the religious people get so pissed off, because they're like, God doesn't like this, and you are taking our religion and you are giving these gay people this service.
Well, you're taking the ceremonies and you're corrupting
exactly.
this beautiful thing.
You're taking this whole thing, which is like, you know, this ritual that involves God tying spiritual weaves and threads around these people, and you're doing it for these people that God hates, and that's how they see it. And I'm like, I don't think that's any better. I still think it's, I still think it's hateful and idiotic. And even if God did exist, any God that hated fags is no God that I would ever worship. I would actually be like, is there been any movie where a guy goes and he tries to kill God? Because that would be awesome.
There was a story called The Golden Compass, and the basic idea is that the main characters try to kill God. But God ends up being like a fraudulent entity that just, you know, isn't the creative universe. It's a very powerful creature that, you know, exists because other people worship him and all this other kind of stuff.
But if there was a powerful creature that was just like, brr, gay people are bad, I'd be like, time to hit you in the face with a bat.
You know, that'd be...
That's my intolerance.
It would be a Matrix-style kind of moment, sort of like, do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. I don't know how you'd kill it, though. I'm assuming it would just be like, be gone, vile creature, poof, you're gone.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess we'd have to see what was up. But since it's kind of like it doesn't exist and it doesn't matter, it's all just theoretical talk anyways.
It's funny because the other thing that it made me realize, two things. Number one, I kept thinking about how individuals that are really all about, you know, that strict ceremony and that very, you know, not thinking outside of the box in terms of your own religiosity. And it made me think, like, how do these people, because, you know, he was reading a book about some guy who was a Satanist and then he became, a Christian. Which, number one, is BS, because Satanism doesn't really fucking exist. It's bull, all right? It's bull. There was, in the 80s, everybody was really afraid of all these Satanists going around murdering babies and whatever. Mm-hmm. And it turns out that all these guys, all they did was worship themselves. Mm-hmm. Worship money or whatever. But there was no real, you know, all those rituals were just play, you know? Like, the modern day version of like Wiccans and stuff like that, right? Yeah. So just a really nothing. But he's reading this, and I'm sure he's trying to tie it into the context of his own religious view, which is, you know, obviously very strict. But when you have this very strict line of thinking, you know, you have to kind of wonder, how does that feel? Because the entire world is presenting you with ideas and challenges that really can't work within that context. You know, that very strict context. They're completely new notions, like stem cell research. You know, you can try to search in your damn Bible to figure out, like, what's God's stance on stem cell research? And all this other kind of stuff that we probably have yet to discover. And then you're just like, this is completely inadequate.
No, I mean, here's what you can do. You got these options. You can close yourself off to these ideas and live kind of a sheltered life where you don't deal with all that stuff. Or you can deal with it and you can have a crisis of faith. or you can look at it and you say it's the devil's work, and you can push back and fight against it. And that seems to be the option. Well, actually, I'd say there's... I mean, everybody kind of comes in. You have these religious parents, and they send you to Sunday school. And everybody, when you're a kid and you don't really give a crap about anything, you're all like, I believe in God. And
sure,
then,
why not?
Then you get older and you read science textbooks, and you just get this general feeling like, no, that's not right. And that's when most people don't even realize it. Lots of people who, you know, when they were really young said, I believe in God. They had their crisis of faith so young and so early that they don't even remember it. It was so gradual. It was just kind of that thing where back in the day you used to like that really crappy pixie stick stuff or that really crappy orange drink. And just as you're growing up, you're like, you know what? I just don't like it anymore. And they graduate.
It's like, remember that candy there that you dip that stick in?
Yeah.
And it's just pure sugar? That thing sucks now. Yeah. You're just like, this is terrible. How did I go ape shit for this before?
The stuff that you used to love as a kid just doesn't cut it anymore because your tastes have kind of changed and you've made realizations, be it just for the fact that from a palate area you can't enjoy it anymore just because you know that it just pure garbage.
And you're like, it's all garbage, Jacob. I hate it so much.
Yeah.
But the other thing too that it made me realize is like this idea that we don't have, like you guys like you and me, we don't have anything that's sacred.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, maybe it's partially the fact that we're kind of comedians, right? Mm-hmm. And
I still find that term amusing because I don't feel like a comedian.
No, we are. Mm-hmm. We do that for a living now.
Yeah, I guess it's true. When you make money off of being funny and that's all you do.
Yeah, you're a comedian. Unless you are just a guy who does things and sometimes people laugh and you receive monies,
mm-hmm.
that seems like a less glamorous title. Mm-hmm. And a lot longer to say and not very impressive to the ladies.
But is it kind of like in the same way that a woman whose husband gives her money is a whore?
You said husband or boyfriend?
Either way.
Mm, husband, maybe not so much. Boyfriend, definitely.
My goodness.
No, but okay. Again, like I said, we don't really have anything that's sacred. For us, everything is open.
Open to mockery.
Open to mockery. Like our own beliefs, just everything. And just to kind of put myself in the shoes of someone who would be completely and utterly baffled and upset if I just made a joke about, I don't know, shitting down the throat of Jesus or something like that. Just something vile.
Something horrifically vile. Like, or one of the idea of having, you know, like a cross soaking in urine. I mean, there's a lot of artists that take that concept and that's the whole point of their artistic vision is to take sacred and really do disgusting stuff to it to elicit reaction.
Yeah, and I guess, you know, my first question, and I want to ask you this question, is do you think that having things that are sacred is good or not? Like, do you think that people should have things that are sacred?
I mean, I definitely do. Look at this. I mean, as an atheist, you're probably like, and you say, nothing is sacred to me. But to the same degree, you would care a lot more if I punched your dad in the face rather than I just punched some random person.
Yeah, so but to that's not a matter of...
Your relationships... are sacred, and are we saying that these aren't valid things? You know.
Okay, but here's the thing. I mean, we use the word sacred not in its traditional context, right? We use mm-hmm. it more as we use the main important, but it's not mm-hmm. actual its definition. I mean, its definition is like it's two things. Here's the dictionary definition: dedicated or set apart for the service of worship or of a deity, such as a tree, sacred to the gods. Another one is devoted exclusively to one's service or use. And number two, worthy of religious veneration, holy, entitled to reverence and respect.
Okay, let's look at that entitled to reverence and respect. And that is, I guess, how I would kind of cherry pick that definition.
I don't veneer my father, you know? It's uh-huh. not like I'm like, you can't do anything wrong.
But dude, it's just because your father sucks.
Your dad sucks, you piece of shit.
Oh, did I touch a nerve, sir?
No. Here's the thing. I mean, I can understand the word respect.
Uh-huh.
And if it wasn't for the reverence, you know, mm-hmm. you could kind of say, yeah, all right, worthy of respect. But that's not really what sacred is about. Sacred is like one of those things, you can't touch this.
Yeah.
You can't question it. And what is it about the world that I wouldn't want to question? I can respect something. I respect science, but I can still ask questions about it. I'm not going to worship it. I'm not going to say this is the most holy idea ever.
Okay, well, okay, so if we're not saying that, then we can't say science is sacred. Because look at here's another argument for you, and we'll see how you do with it. Okay.
Okay.
Beer does that to you.
You know what I'm trying to do? I'm trying to throw you off your game.
It did actually. It kind of screwed me up. Okay. So you got science in schools. It's being assaulted by Christians, and they're saying teach the what's the stupid thing they say? Teach the controversy.
Sure.
Yeah. So you're saying that is not okay. They can teach their kids whatever they want at home, but to teach that crap in school, I mean, schools have that certain place. Schools should be, it should be all about learning. So in that degree, we hold it up as being somewhat sacred, the idea of...
But it's not, okay, look at a curriculum, right? A curriculum isn't sacred. You don't suddenly say, well, this flat earth theory, this is sacred. We can't change that. There's no change here. And all of a sudden somebody discovers, the earth is round. In fact, the Greeks knew that about like 2,000 years ago. You wouldn't go, well, I'm sorry, we can't change this curriculum. The idea isn't so much that the whole thing about school, the curriculum, the classes are themselves sacred. It's just that when you try to introduce educational material that is not educational material, that's obvious propaganda, religious propaganda, centered around the Judeo-Christian, religious context itself, then you have a problem. That's not education, that's indoctrination. And of course you'll have those people who say, oh, science is indoctrination. No, science is just a process. It's not a thing in and of itself, right? It's just a methodology. The methodology itself is just to say, well, let's try to find naturalistic explanations to the world. If
there was a better methodology that came along, then maybe that would become the new...
Exactly, the new scientific method. Maybe scientific method 2, maybe there's some revisions. Maybe there's a weakness in there, a kink, some perfection that needs to be done. But the whole idea is, again, that we don't not introduce these aspects because everything else is sacred. Again, I think that the word sacred is just misused. It's misused by guys like us because we don't understand what sacred really is. We don't understand when somebody goes over to like, you cannot make fun of this. Yeah. You just can't. And of course, to us, we'd be like, that's ridiculous. Of course it can. Watch me.
And growing up in a society where it's just you're allowed to say whatever you want, it becomes even more foreign because you look at the idea of what goes on in the Middle East when you draw these cartoons or you do whatever, or just the concept that someone might be... that the infidels might be showing Muhammad in some form, and it's like, no, that's sacred. You can't do that.
That's a perfect example.
And we are going to kill you now for it.
I saw this one video where there's this woman, and she was in full dress or whatever. What's it called? A hijab or...
Headgear.
Headgear. In full prison gear.
Yeah.
Anyways, and she was saying, like, it is my right to want to kill this man. He is, drawn this cartoon. He must die. You're right? Like, what? I know, it's this weird thing where really they feel as though a lot of people, religious people, feel as if you touch that subject, they quote-unquote have the right to kill you. And it's not one of those civil rights. It's one of those, it was written in a dusty 4th century book rights.
Yeah, that's the whole logic gap for me. Because I could be like, you pissed me off and you messed with something I love and I'm going to kill you. But I still know what's wrong. And it's like, I'm not going to be like, I have the right to kill you. Because to me, that there smacks of that whole kind of, I don't know.
You know, it's almost like not taking responsibility for your actions. It's the same guys that say, life is sacred and how dare you, but I'm going to kill all life.
Yeah, that guy asked for it because he was gay. I had to do something.
And why should I be punished for it? There's no reason to be punished.
Yeah.
I said, well, there are laws there, buddy. And so I thought that was an interesting thing. One other subject I wanted to talk about is the fact that there's this, there's a guy by the name of... how do you pronounce that?
Where is it?
It's right here. What's his name? It's Henry
Mongentelier.
Mongentler. No, it's he's Polish.
Mongentler then.
Mongentler.
Mongentler.
No.
Mongentler.
What? No.
Why'd you even ask me if you didn't want to hear what I had to say?
Because I'm stupid.
You guys can just write in and tell us who's right. I think it's Mongentler.
I say it's Mongentler. Because look, genitalia. Genitalia would be spelled like that.
Man, he must have been made fun of as a kid.
Well, interestingly enough, this doctor, who we'll call...
He became a doctor.
He became a doctor.
Show me your Montgentailier. Taylor-ia.
John Taylor-ia. Anyways, he was given the Order of Canada, and a whole bunch of religious people went apeshit. Basically, one guy called Cardinal Jean-Claude Turcotte returned his Order of Canada, saying that it was a stance regarding his personal convictions. He felt that he was worried about how we treat life. Now, before I continue, there's just one thing I want to say about any Catholic priest that is worried about how you treat life. You guys are just a bunch of fucking hypocrites. I'm sorry, okay? You are. These same guys that don't want people to wear condoms, who could potentially, you know, avoid catching AIDS, are worried about how we treat life. Well, you know how you treat life? You treat it cheaply. You treat it as though some dusty-ass manual should be telling you how you're supposed to treat everybody else. But meanwhile, normal, healthy attitudes, sexual attitudes, are completely ignored. I mean, why do you need to worry about that? It's not written in the book, therefore it must not matter. It just drives me insane when these guys can go around saying, oh, are you born a fetus? You don't care about life. And at the same time, these are the same jackasses that went around killing individuals, burning them alive for believing in something different. Oh, yeah, you really have a healthy respect for life. I'm glad you actually returned your order. I don't even think you deserve it. This is the same piece of shit bastard who was making people take HIV tests who were applying for priesthood. And he was claiming that it was trying to keep gays out of, out of his...
That's not a controversial conclusion at all.
No, it's making two very bold statements. Number one, that if you're gay, you can't be a priest. Because somehow, when you take a vow of celibacy, still preying on Mancock is apparently just really bad. Maybe they want to be priests because they're all worried about that. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But the other thing is, yes, all gays must have HIV. This is the great test to find out. You're very, very well educated.
Yeah, at least if I was him, I consider myself to be a pretty good PR guy. I think you should have said, I just don't want the altar boys to catch AIDS.
I think that is definitely a very PC thing to say.
Mm-hmm. But okay, you kind of skipped over this. I just want to step back a little bit. Yeah. Turcotte, he returned the order because they gave it to Montgenitalia. And Montgenitalia was given it...
Stop saying Montgenitalia.
Well, it's better
than... Montgenitalia.
Okay.
Montgenitalia.
And he was given it... Was he given it because he was one of the first guys to give abortions in Canada?
Here's the whole thing. Basically, Montgenitalia was a Polish-born immigrant, a Holocaust survivor, mm-hmm. who moved to Canada and opened an abortion clinic in 1969. That was before it was legal. So mm-hmm. he was giving illegal abortions... And the reason he said that was because he said that he was worried about the health of women who were seeking it from, untrained professionals.
Back alley,
yeah, pretty much. And he was worried about their health. Now, he went to jail a bunch of times, but he still fought for it. And in the end, he won. So
he actually kind of was the guy that set the precedent that that abortion is okay in Canada.
Exactly. He was one of the pioneers for that. And mm-hmm. he was again the pioneer in the idea that people should be allowed to choose what they want to do with their own bodies. That a government doesn't have the right to tell you mm-hmm. whether or not you have to bring your pregnancy to term.
Yeah.
And it's a really controversial decision.
Or was at the time,
or it's not. It hasn't been that long ago.
How long ago was this?
That he was given the order?
No, not that he was given the order. Abortion in Canada. Because I mean, I kind of want to go on a little bit later. We can go on a rant about America and their abortion thing and how it's still a huge debate. And I'm just hoping that Canada wasn't like 1983. It was legalized, because then I'd feel pretty lame.
You know what? I didn't actually do the research for when it was legalized. I think it was the 70s, but I wasn't expecting you going that route.
See, folks. If you we're not gonna half-ass doing the shows irregularly, but we're still gonna half-ass our research.
You just can't drop these bombs on me.
I'm sorry, I was being inquisitive.
Well, you should be sorry.
Okay,
you should be.
I'll just keep my mouth shut.
You should keep your mouth shut. You're basically here to say yes and no.
Mm. No.
See, good boy. But no, I didn't actually want to go into the whole detail of when abortion became legal in Canada, because that's not actually the subject that I want to get into.
Uh-huh.
I don't actually think that there's that great of a deal of controversy in giving him the order.
Yeah.
You know, he is still a doctor, okay? And he's still a human, a civil rights you know, activist.
And I bet you he saved a crap load of lives. Number of women that probably would have died getting illegal abortions, and a number of women who probably would have died giving birth.
And he survived the fucking Holocaust. I mean, you know what? Like, I could understand that somebody might be pissed if their opinion is saying, like, well, generally, you know what? I value life, and I don't think there should be abortions, and so on and so forth. But here's the weird thing. See, a Catholic priest who complains about a Polish Jew who was in the Holocaust, despite the fact that in Poland, the Catholic Church was complicit in providing names and locations of Jews in order to send them to death camps, doesn't give you and your religion a lot of leeway. You shut your mouth. You're not allowed to start complaining about that shit, because how you value and treat life is directly reflected on the past actions of your religion. And guess what? You ain't got no leverage, bitch. That's my attitude towards that.
I can agree with that. I can see it. Although at the same time, you can, if you hold stuff like that over people's heads to that degree, then
it's
going to
come back to haunt you. If you go around, you make that shit public, and you decide, I'm going to make this a big deal, then you know what? That's going to come back and haunt you. And sure, you can say, well, I wasn't part of that, but you're still part of a belief system that, you know, hasn't really changed its attitude towards the Jews. Mm-hmm. You think the Catholic Church in Quebec isn't an anti-Semitic? Dude, I know for a fact that it is still very anti-Semitic. Mm-hmm. And, you know, to sort of like open that door is a Pandora's box that I don't think you want to open. Now, there's other people that sort of also return their medals. I think there was this one group called the Madonna House, which is like this weird little...
Love her music. The newest album isn't that good. But did...
Shut up, you're an idiot.
Well...
The Madonna House is like one of those... communes where they have all, where people sort of take a vow of poverty, and you know, they try to help the poor too. But the reason they take a vow of poverty is so that they can better identify with the poor.
Yeah.
So I mean, I won't disagree that sure, that's kind of a cool thing if that's the way you want to do it. I think there's sometimes maybe better ways than just being poor. Maybe because if you don't have a lot of money, you might not be able to do that much for the poor. Mm-hmm. Sure, I mean, it helps to kind of know what their situation is like, but after a while.
It's probably better if you were making money so that you could actually fund the projects that you're trying to support these.
In a way,
support the change that you're trying to create.
Yeah, I mean, sympathy is one thing, but at the end of the day, you know, it doesn't take you that much living in a poor person's shoes to really realize how crappy it is.
Well, okay, maybe it's like this. You know the whole saying, teach a man to fish. Or show, catch a man a fish and he'll eat for a day. He'll eat for a day, but teach him to fish and he'll be able to... to eat fish forever.
Right.
Well, this group here is what? Sitting next to the guy and going, I'm hungry too. This sucks. Is that kind of how it works?
No, well, they still do try to get, monies and raise money and that kind of stuff. I don't know precisely because there's lots of different tiny cells. I mean, they don't have a big population because these people take vows of celibacy.
Ooh.
And chastity as well.
Yeah.
So, you know, they're not exactly exploding population-wise here.
I'm probably going to blindside you with another question you don't know the answer to.
Oh, boy.
When you declare a vow of celibacy, are you still allowed to masturbate?
No.
How is that even possible? Don't your testicles, like, explode or something?
No, no. Basically, what will happen is that you will have, like, night ejaculations.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. If you don't masturbate for like 2 weeks, it'll happen. Mm-hmm. You'll cream your shorts without you even knowing it. It'll just come out.
Yeah.
So, you know, like that whole thing, because the reason basically that most Catholics don't want people to wear condoms has to do with this story. I forget the actual name of the character, but he's told by God that he has to have sex with this woman.
Mm-hmm.
He has sex with and like, you know, impregnate her. He has sex with her, but
He pulls out
and it, you know, spills on the ground. So God fucking kills him. That's the only passage in which that's made reference. So everybody assumes if you spill your seed on the ground, God will kill you.
I just figured that would probably more imply if God tells you to impregnate someone,
just do it. Just yeah, do it. It's you know what? That's probably a better interpretation.
Yeah.
Than just it had more it, like because people kind of focus on the, you know, sperm spilling the ground, but the guy disobeyed God. I mean, come on, what do you think was going to happen? This is sort of the Lord shit here.
I know this is going off on another step of the tangent, but you remember that story about the guy who had sex with his daughters?
Yeah, a lot.
Yeah. Is that considered precedent from some people as reason for why they should get to bang their daughters? Because you figure
technically, he didn't want to do it, so they raped him twice.
Oh, okay. So it's more like.
But it's still rape.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, if you oh my goodness, so much so. You don't even want to go there, that Old Testament stuff. You can sanction almost anything. Come on now.
Yeah.
I mean, it's funny too that these same people, they're like, you can't take the Old Testament literally because they're always about the New Testament. The New Testament is the New Testament of Jesus Christ. But then they'll still go back to the old one saying, well, God said he hates fags. And I was just like, well, that's still mostly Deuteronomy and all this other kind of stuff. I'm like, you can't use it when it's convenient, but say it doesn't count anymore because the New Testament is the bomb. Yay! Yeah. Anyways, I don't want to go that much more on a tangent. The one thing that I just sort of like wanted to say is that this group returned the medal from their deceased founder.
Mm-hmm.
Presumably, maybe she would have returned it herself. Fine. But it just kind of weird to return stuff posthumously. Isn't that weird? Like, my dad died. I'll give back the medal that you guys gave him. I've made that decision for him. He is now dead. You know what I mean?
Mm.
It's like, why don't you stay out of that limelight? Although now I know who they are, so yeah. I suppose it was the best PR campaign for them.
Yeah, and I bet you anything. I mean, you go into these people, these are the kind of people that probably write all those letters back and forth to each other. I bet you could find a novel or two on the hatred of abortion and this and that from these people. So you figure there's probably, they probably know, but I agree it's kind of kitschy on the idea. This person is dead, but we're still giving back that medal.
So here's a scenario for Madonna House. Say a poor person comes over to you and they're seeking help,
mm-hmm.
but they're pregnant,
mm-hmm.
and they know that if they bring the child to term, they're going to have a lot of financial difficulty.
Mm.
What does Madonna House do?
Madonna House makes them have, well, tells them to have a kid.
Like, we will help you, sort of, kind of.
Good luck. Here's the thing you got to understand is that one of the big arguments, one of the big kind of toeholds that the abortion movement or the anti-abortion movement has is that whole idea of saying that of using that the argument of you should not be allowed to abort children because it is financially inconvenient for you to have the child, and to me it's. That's the really hard one because you got that certain percentage of people who can't have a baby because it'll kill them because they got tiny little hips or whatever else like that. But then you got a large portion of these people who are just like, listen, it's not planned, and it's gonna mess up my life, and I just don't want to do it. And that is really that whole area when they're like,
do it!
That's that whole. The argument that they're able to float for so long is, well, it's irresponsible that you got pregnant and you should live up to your this and that, and it's not your right to be able to say just because it's a burden and an inconvenience on you that it should have it. It's this whole morality play on it. And
I know, but what they don't understand is that just that burden for some is pretty damn strong. You know, I'd rather see... I read this book called Freakonomics, which talked about why there was such a drop in the crime rate in the United States during the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
And they were just like, you know, a lot of people had different ideas. They said, well, maybe it's all this new police procedures and everything else like that. But they make an interesting case of saying, well, really what it was that 20 years back, Roe versus Wade allowed people to abort children that they didn't want. And if you were forced to bring someone into the world that you didn't want in the first place, odds are you might treat them like shit. And if you treat them like shit, maybe they'll turn out to be criminals. So their response is that the reason that the crime kept going down is because those criminals weren't born. They just weren't born.
My God. If you know what, I tell you what, this is probably the worst show if any, like, if any anti-abortionists listen to this show, they'd be like, listen to these evil atheists and their opinions or whatever.
First of all, they have nothing. They don't even believe that life is sacred.
But here's the thing. My whole opinion on it is that you shouldn't even be allowed to get into this morality. That's like that's letting them already come through the front door and get in there, and you shouldn't have even unlocked the door.
Yeah, it's you can't listen.
You can't unlock the door past the point of just saying that you don't have the right to decide anything about anybody else's life, regardless of anything. You just don't have... A person has the right to decide what they want to do with their own body, and that is the end of story. No one should be allowed... Big government shouldn't be allowed to tell you if you can do this or not. It's your decision. It is absolutely your decision.
And look at that. That's your little rant. And I think that's how we should wrap that up. Ryan had his first little rant, and he's a good boy.
I need a cigarette.
You can do whatever you want with your body, son.
I know it wasn't too wild and crazy, but I have some pretty... I just hate this whole pro-life movement. I just want to smash their faces in with bricks and blow them up with the bombs that they try and put in abortion clinics.
See? The anger is starting. Doesn't it feel good? Like, you come that from there, and you're just like, wow, I vented. And I feel great.
Yep, and now, once again, I unlock that door, and I'm like, I want to kill anti-abortion. You know, I love abortion so much that I want to abort the anti-abortionists.
Like, I love abortions! I love watching them and doing them,
yeah.
And I have videos of them.
We take a Doug Stanhope approach to our opinions on abortion.
Yeah, well, if you're gonna have an opinion, you might as well just go all the way with it. screw this whole. I only have parts of this opinion. I'm not a fence sitter when it comes to abortion. I just cross that fence and I'm in that pond and I'm swimming and I'm like, the water's glorious. Come on in.
Yep. So there you go, people. Is nothing sacred? Apparently not.
Nope, definitely not to the good atheist. And with that, I am Jacob Forte
and I am Ryan Harkness.